Blog Talk Radio.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Forman. Today is Tuesday, September 6th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage. Just scroll down a little bit. The chat room automatically opens up. You're already in the chat room if you're listening live. You're logged on as a guest. But we'd like for you to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in and participate in the chat room, meet some new friends. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's oyster shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's oyster shell for your pullets and layers.
Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisper. It is our first day back this week, hence the holiday that we had yesterday for Labor Day. We hope you had a great weekend, but we are ready to get this week rolling. And, of course, we can't do that without introducing our wonderful co-host, Poultry. Great title. And also known underground as the Compost Queen. Of course. Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, enjoy your long weekend?
Hey, Whisper, I certainly did. Oh, my goodness, I'm here in Indiana. Drove back to Indiana on Sunday, and I'm just visiting with my mother, who was 93 and wanting to downsize, going through a lot of her stuff, and talk about an ordeal. She's wonderful, but she's a Taurus, and she's kind of bonded to just about everything. She's a collector, so everything has memories. So it's kind of hard for her to give anything up. But it's great. We're having a wonderful time, just absolutely a wonderful time. So how are you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend?
It was wonderful. As you know, we had a huge, huge yard sale. So Jen's mom and dad came down on, around Friday afternoon, and we enjoyed Friday evening with them, but we were still getting ready and pricing things and getting things organized for the big yard sale up early Saturday morning, posting up a few signs with big arrows on them saying, hey, yard sale today. And we did the yard sale, and it wasn't huge. It wasn't amazingly hot, but it was a warm day. And we had it from 8 to 3, and we started actually wrapping up about 2:15 so we could really be done at 3. But we did. It was successful. A little less traffic than what we thought, but still definitely worth our time. Sold a lot of good things, and also got a lot of things now that we didn't have to pick up again and put back in the house for storage. So that our goals were completed for that, and then Saturday night, again, nice supper with family, Sunday church and lunch with the family, and a little nap time. And then Monday was pretty much it wasn't a lazy day, because I got a lot done inside this house with the organization. We
did a little bit around the sunroom, getting it ready for whatnot. But it was nice to have that extra day. It really was. Jim appreciated it too. So she's back at work today, plowing hard. And speaking of plowing, we are going to be doing a our fall garden. We're going to be I'm probably going to try to. Harrow that. It's really windy today. We did get a good bit of rain from this tropical storm that came up through Louisiana and Alabama and Tennessee, and we did get a little bit of rain, which was good. Not as much as we really wanted or needed, but we did get a little rain, and now it's just for the last 24 hours it's been extremely windy, so that's drying up a lot of the wetness on the roads and in the yards. But I'm going to try to maybe tomorrow or Friday. I'm out of the loop on Thursday. Tomorrow or Friday, we're going to harrow the backfield, and then possibly the week after that, we're going to start planting. We ran a few errands this week. A lot of places, even the farm stores, don't have their fall seedlings in yet. But hopefully, in the next if I harrow this week, maybe we can plant next week. And I got Farmer's Almanac. I bought that, and trying to see what dates are good to plant, what we can plant. We hope to do some English peas. We hope to do some broccoli and cauliflower and collards and turnips and broccoli, cauliflower. I think I said that. Some romaine lettuce, maybe some cabbage, maybe some regular iceberg lettuce. Let me see what else we were going to plant. And there was a couple of other things on our list, but we hope to have a big, big garden. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. It's kind of like a community garden. We have a gentleman here. We have a gentleman here, and he does a lot of work for us around the yard, inside the house. Helps me a lot with my to-do list, and he's just a fabulous, really a hard worker. And he's got a good bit of experience working on farms and whatnot. Well, he approached me, and he said, "I know you're busy with a lot of stuff, but I would like to ask if I could harrow a little spot down here and plant some collards." And I said, "You know what? I like that idea. We are planning to have a fall garden, but why don't we do this, my friend?" And so I talked to Jen about it, and I got back to him, and I think this is going to kind of like a community garden, but I think it'll really help him out a lot. He does not have a full-time job. He does odd jobs for people in town. And again, we've got a good friendship going, and he's done a lot of work for us, and all his work that he does for us is just really fabulous. He really, really works hard. So I talked to Jen about it, and I think what we're going to do is we will harrow, kind of like a community garden, but not really. We're going to harrow the back 40 this week. Next week, Jen and I will go out, and we will invest in all of the what we need, whether it be seeds or started plants or seedlings or whatever we need to get the plants involved. And then me and Jen, being so busy, we will help out as much as we possibly can with the garden, with the field. But and we're going to have this gentleman kind of help plant and tend to it and whatnot throughout the growing season, till the rows, keep the grass down, water if needed, whatnot, and really just work on it really well. And then in return, what we're going to do is, he can have as much as he possibly wants out of what we planted. And again, our land and our investment of the initial crop, he'll help us work it and weed it and harvest and things like that. In turn, what he wants is he'll get lots of food out of the garden as well. Me and Jen will get food out of the garden with our with our help. And then I told him, I said, since he's basically jobless right now, I told him, I said, any extra, because you can only eat and can so much, I said, any extra we plant, or we'll count up an area or how much that we have for extra, I said, you know what, I said, you can sell it and then pocket that money. And so it's a win-win-win for everybody. He gets the food that he wants planted. Me and Jen get some food. We get to can some food. We get to participate as much as we can with our busy schedules. And then he gets to he gets to actually what's left over or what we don't end up using or canning or eating ourselves, he gets to harvest and then sell and then pocket that money for himself. And so he'll show good responsibility for that. And so it's a win-win. He was very excited about the ordeal. Jen was too. I was too. Get our big fall. And then now it gives us the opportunity to have a much bigger garden, and everybody wins. So we talked about having maybe opening up to a couple of more other folks and have maybe a true kind of community garden, but not quite ready for that responsibility and oversight yet. We're looking at maybe getting I'll talk with the city today about putting in another water meter down there on the back 40, so we can have irrigation if need be, so we don't have to haul water down from the hill. But we'll try to get that done. But I'm very excited because I'll be out harrowing this week, next week. I'll take this my friend here, and we'll head to town. We'll go to the farm store and pick out whatever crops we might need or want to plant. And then, voila, the fall garden will be in. So I'm very excited about that. I know it's a little bit cooler up your way. I don't know if it's because the Farmer's Almanac saying for us, basically, next week is the time to plant most things here for a fall garden here in South Georgia. So I don't know if you're ahead of the game there, planting, Pat. You're going to put in a fall garden?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've already got some cabbages that are ready to go in. And it's this is my favorite time of year to plant. You know, most people are thinking, oh, God, thanks, I don't want any more gardening. But in a way, this is the best time to do it. Because the fall crops. I love the brassicas and the lettuces and all those, the Swiss chard. And are you going to use some row covers, Whisper, to little season extenders to help you get a little longer growing season under those cold nights?
Nah, we don't have many cold nights down here. we'll have a few, but
we do.
Yeah. Says I got about a 3-second delay or an echo here. So let me do a sound check here in the chat room and see if anybody else is having that. What I can do is I can reboot my system and try to come back on. Does anybody else hear an echo in the chat room? How about you, Pat? Do you hear an echo or a delay?
No, I don't. Everything's coming through quite well for me. And you don't sound like you're on a echo. So.
Okay. Let's go to, and Woodcutter's not hearing anything. Nobody else has the delay. Ralph's not hearing it. Okay, maybe we need to get East Dallas Dave to just reboot his system or refresh and see if that will pan out. Okay, if any other sound problems in the chat room, please let us know. We are on about a 20 to 25 second delay just for, mm-hmm. for you know, we just always are, but there shouldn't be a big echo or anything. But I can, when we go to a commercial break, I can reboot. It's very, very easy to just redo that and refresh and see what's going on with that and see if it's a problem on our end. So no problem there. So, but yeah, definitely looking forward to getting out in the field and planting our first fall garden down here in South Georgia. Definitely looking forward to it. I hope we do have some rain so we don't have to use a lot of the water because mm-hmm. that always dips into the pocket a little bit when you're using water. But the system that we'll have down there, we won't have to pay for sewage. It'll just, you know, like with your home, you pay for water and sewage. It'll just be water because it'll be for irrigation. So we'll have that bonus. It won't cost us so much because we won't be doing that. So, okay, they're hearing just a little bit of tiny echo there from Tater Farm. So when we go to commercial break here in a minute, we will I'll fix that problem. We have a great guest today. It is the first Tuesday of the month, so we're going to welcome the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, and we have a fabulous, fabulous topic today. Because it is now football season. This past weekend was opening season for a lot of the college ball, pro ball getting started here, and everybody loves football. So with football season here, everybody loves to snack. They need ideas for the tailgate party. They need ideas for that party when they're, you know, the college parties that they have. And they do all the chicken wings and all the good stuff that they have, the meatballs and whatnot, mm-hmm. chips and salsa and the whole nine yards. So, again, today we're going to welcome the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. You can visit his website, heritagechef.com. And it's football season, and so he's got at least three topics we're going to try to talk about today and three recipes. We've got, let's see if I can pronounce all this, borracho chicken and beans and Mexican caviar, and then chopped barbecue chicken sliders. Chopped barbecue chicken sliders. I'm getting hungry already. It is lunchtime, and I haven't had lunch. So just reading that, my mouth is watering. So we are going to we're going to have a great show today. Get that pen and paper out. I'm sure some of these recipes may be on his webpage. I'm going to read this. It's on his webpage. If you go to his homepage, heritagechef.com, you'll see a picture of Steve. You'll see a beautiful dish there. Looks like a stuffed chicken dish that's right there, plate. And then I'm going to read you this paragraph to let you know what Steve's all about. Grandma knew best. There was a time when Grandma's main grocery store was her backyard. At her store, you would find an abundance of diversity. Her farm was her backdoor pantry that certainly had a variety of beef, pork, rabbit, and especially in her personal selection of standard bred poultry. Each one of her birds served a special purpose. She knew what type of chicken to use for each of her cherished family recipes. She had barred rocks for fried chicken, Jersey black giants for baking, silver-laced Wyandottes for broiling, and dark Cornish Indian game for her tasty chicken salad sandwiches. Today, you can serve at your table those same birds that are celebrated for their distinctive texture and exceptional flavor. I have included some direct links that you can purchase from. Choosing quality poultry is of primary importance for the finished bird as it comes to the table can never be of any higher quality than the quality of the source. It is essential for every consumer to know how to recognize prime quality so they can avoid the disappointment when the results from a poor or mistaken choice. Standard breed heritage chickens from Good Shepherd Ranch are selected and sold by breed type, and each one is suitable for a particular type of cooking. It is important to choose the correct breed, a high-quality bird of a proper age and breed used to make a delicious soup would be unsatisfactory if fried or roasted. The style of cooked chicken desired will determine the kind of bird to be purchased. So just to give you an idea there of what Steve's all about and his website, again, we encourage you to go there, heritagechef.com. So we definitely have a great show today. Get that pen and paper out to jot down any type of notes you may have. Also, we ran the Brincy commercial, but I want to let everybody know that they have a huge September sale right now at Brincy. Just go to Brincy.com, B-R-I-N-S-E-A, Brincy.com. And you'll see they're having a huge sale, and it's packed. It's 20% off most everything that they've got. Whether you want an incubator or a brooder, an egg candler, they have a great selection. But I just want to remind everybody, for the month of September, they've got a 20% off sale. 20% off, that's not chump change. So when you're looking at buying a $100, $200, $300, $500 incubator or egg handler or whatever it may be you need, 20% off right now at Brincy for the month of September. So you want to check that sale out. If you're in the market, we encourage you to do so. I don't think I have any chickens in the news, Pat. I want to let everybody know that I should, God willing, I should be here all week except for on Thursday. I'm looking at my calendar now, and it looks like this Thursday, the 8th, is the second Thursday. So this Thursday we'll have Richard Frudenberger on. And so with Richard being on, and I think you being here, it'll be a fabulous show this Thursday. I know you and Richard just hit it off wonderfully, and he's got the gift of gab too, and he's so knowledgeable. He's the publisher of Back Home Magazine. This Thursday I've got a field trip to go on with my lovely wife and with her new job, so we'll be doing that on Thursday. So I should be here every other day other than that, but let's see, tomorrow It is the first Wednesday of the month, it looks like. So we'll have Arlena Schott here with us tomorrow talking about gardening. Thursday, we'll have Richard Frudenberger here, publisher of Back Home Magazine. And then a fun Friday, this Friday the 9th, we'll have fun here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So another great lineup this week. And as I was scrolling down our Facebook page, I don't have any pertinent chickens in the news right now. Pat, do you have any you'd like to share with us before we go to break?
I do, and this one just came in this morning, about the 10 minutes before the show started, Whisper, and I'm really stunned at it. It comes to us out of worldpoultry.net,
yes,
the gateway to the global poultry industry, and it doesn't have a byline, so we don't know who wrote it, but it says, U.S. poultry organizations raise concerns about the Roxasone ban.
Hmm.
They are concerned about the Roxasone ban. This is short, so I'm just going to read it. It's
sure.
Very much to the point. It says, the U.S. Poultry Organizations, the U.S. Poultry and Egg Association, and the National Chicken Council have all written to the FDA to share concerns about a recent suspension of the sale of Roxasone animal drug products. And to just remind our listeners that Roxasone, its active ingredient is arsenic. So we're talking about banning arsenic, and they're concerned that that's not a good thing to ban this arsenic. I mean, it's my goodness gracious, golly gee whiz. They are particularly concerned that the withdrawal of the Roxasone products, now this is also given to swine and other animals, that the withdrawal of the Roxasone products from the marketplace was, quote, not based upon adequate scientific study. And they want to bring the agency's attention to the numerous unintended consequences that are likely to result from the withdrawal of Roxasone products from the marketplace, including the increased risk of foodborne illnesses. They don't say anything, of course, about the toxic illnesses, like arsenic is such a safe thing. Anyway, foodborne illnesses, the increased cost due to the need for more feed. Then the thing, one of the reasons they feed Roxasone is it apparently irritates the lining of the gut a little bit and causes the chickens to eat a little more to gain weight faster. Okay, so the increased cost for more feed. And the last thing is, you got to love this one. This is so rich. because of the detrimental environmental effects that will impact the resulting use of more feed. Now, they don't say anything about the detrimental impacts of the use of arsenic in groundwater and on grains and the fields, and oh, my God. So can you believe this? I mean, it's everyone has their point of view. Everyone has their point of view. But the detrimental impact because they'll have to use more feed, that's pretty lame. Anyway, the announcement from Alpha Pharma, now this is a Pfizer. Pfizer is one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. Alpha Pharma is a Pfizer subsidiary. It would suspend the sales of Roxasone following FDA's completion of a study of 100 broiler chickens to assess the levels of inorganic arsenic in the chickens' livers. And we also commented that, you know, 100 chickens is like hardly anything to really do an adequate study when it comes to arsenic left in the tissues of the animal. But this study was extremely limited in scale and also did not have peer review, the letters say it. Well, FDA did it, but it didn't have peer review. Cool. It involved newly developed analytical techniques and included an extremely long sample storage period. I'm not sure what that means, Whisper, that it had extremely long sample storage periods. And it utilized a feed formulation atypical of commercial poultry feed. I'm not sure what that means either. So anyway, concerns are raised that Pfizer's withdrawal of Roxasone, which was likely as a result of pressure from FDA, and parentheses, was based only on this single and limited study. And in the letter, they reiterate that the significant potential consequences associated with the withdrawal of this marketplace could be bad, basically. So what do you think of that one?
I think that we need to continue on the path of getting arsenic out of our chicken and eliminating Roxasone.
Well, I guess any reason's a good reason, and any excuse is a good excuse, is what's interesting. It'd be really interesting to know who is behind, who really wrote this, as it doesn't have anyone's name on it. And, you know, why? Where,
who would
want to
claim it?
I don't know who would sleep well at night if my name were on something like promoting arsenic to be put in animal feeds so that you can not have to feed the animals so much. I mean, I don't know. I got one more if we have time. I think we've got a little
time.
Okay, sure.
This is fun. Yeah.
This is fun. In fact, this idea came up in my local group, and we guffaw about it a little bit and sort of hee-hawed. But this comes just from Farmers Weekly Interactive. It's Making the Farm Connection. And what it is, this is written by Philip Clark, Fancy Chicks Pose for a New Calendar. Yep, you got it. The Poultry Club of Great Britain has announced the arrival of its absolutely PC calendar featuring fancy chicks as you've never seen them before. So you got it. There are 12 ladies, Whisper. This is part of the naked Turkin Club, I guess. But we have 12 buff ladies of the poultry club and other female poultry chicken keepers. They got together and they're producing what is going to be, of course, the calendar of the season. Each month features a different lady and her bird in a variety of poses, ranging from the artistic to the frankly bizarre.
Only in Great Britain.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We could probably do it here, too. There could be the Chicken Whisperer buff calendar, you know? 12 different poses with the Chicken Whisperer and his chicken.
Oh, my. I think not.
Oh, my is right. Let's not go there, though. But it's, anyway, according to a statement, the ladies are seeking to challenge male dominance in the poultry fancy. And they're going to do that. This one's rich. This one is as rich on the good way as that rocks or so it was in the dire way. But they are going to challenge the male dominance in the poultry fancy, and they're going to show their birds off to their best advantage.
Oh, so my goodness.
It's sponsored by the Cotswold Chickens. The calendar will be 850 pounds. And all the proceeds go to the Poultry Club of Great Britain, and it's the UK's only registered charity dedicated to the conservation of rare and pure breed poultry. If you want to secure a copy, go to the Poultry Club of Great Britain website, and you can order it directly. And its very first cover has a very luptuous-looking, happy woman with a huge amount of eggs in her lap, sitting on some straw, and there's a little chicken sitting on this really huge basket of eggs. It's quite
okay. Hang on.
I'll go
what's
ahead and post the
Poultry
link.
Club.
It's the Poultry Club of Great Britain website, and I'll post the link here as soon as I can. I'm in Friends Fellowship, so I don't have my regular computer. Oops, that's the wrong one. So I'm dealing with one little tiny screen bouncing around. But I will
okay.
Get here.
See, I'm here now. Yeah. The Poultry Club of Great Britain. And
there's the article that came out with, so go on that.
Oh, okay.
It's really priceless.
Let me go. This is just...
You gotta appreciate when women show their chicks off to their best advantage. I mean, it's got to be,
word.
A challenge to the male dominance.
Oh, my word.
Of the poultry industry.
I'm blind.
Oh, my. I thought you'd enjoy that one.
That is funny.
Isn't that great?
That is funny. Oh, my goodness. If you're in the chat room, folks, you need to click on that link.
Doesn't she look happy? I mean, look at that pose. Yep, that's definitely a happy Brit. There must be easily four dozen eggs that one little chick is trying to sit upon. And, of course, the little chick is just very perfectly positioned to provide some coverage there. So it's a very artfully done. And she has shoes on. The other thing she has on is her shoes and a basket.
Oh, my goodness. Shoes and a basket. Oh, my word.
I may have to order one. I think now the men should come out, you know, with the cockerel version. And they can challenge the chick version. That could be entertaining, too. Oh, my gracious, says Tater Farm.
You know,
yikes, more yikes. Double yikes. Wow. Oh, the chat room is enjoying this one, isn't it? Well, what a great way to start the week here, since we had memorials.
Now, see, now she's from, now I've visited all over the world, and I've visited Great Britain and England and everywhere, and but I'm trying to think, if, I guess it's France, if the calendar was France, if she would just raise her arm a little bit, is it the French women that don't shave, or is it the German women that don't shave?
The English also don't, some of them don't shave. I mean, you know, it's a personal preference,
Fiona,
really. Are you talking about the chickens or the women? Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So,
I see they bookmark it. Woodcutter bookmarked that site, so there you have it.
Yeah,
chicks pose for new calendar.
Ron, he's a lonely man. He I'm sure he'll probably order the calendar. he's lonely.
there's a chick in the straw with their bounty. I think it's great, but it is funny. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just really funny. Oh, dear. Calendar girl chickens. Calendar girls and their chickens. And their eggs. A bunch of them. Gosh. Oh, that's all the news I have. I think that was
amazing. Thank goodness.
Roxy's own and chick calendars. There you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty, well, folks, we're gonna take a commercial break here, and then a well-needed commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna welcome our good friend Chef, and we're gonna talk about football, football and recipes and pulled chicken sliders and Mexican caviar. Not sure what that's all about. And so definitely looking forward to that, and I'm already hungry for lunch, so this is going to be have to struggle through this show being hungry, but we're going to do it, and you can too. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back with the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, right after this break.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So, man, there's a lot of a lot of comments in the chat room. They're talking about doing a... Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
So we've got homeschoolers that listen to the show. So unless it's Friday, we have to keep it homeschoolish. On Fridays, there's no holes barred, and it's all a go. So, So we have to be. It's Tuesday, and it's not Friday, so we have to be careful.
Maybe I should have saved that one till Friday about the chicks of Great Britain's calendar that will support heritage and rare breeds. So, yeah.
Yep, that is something. That's something else. Yes, Woodcutter Ron says, "Girls of the chicken coop." Now wait, Ron. Does that make me the Hugh Hefner of the backyard poultry hen world? And so, being the chicken whisperer, I have to now walk around with a pipe in my mouth and a robe on, and I have to design a big mansion that looks like a chicken coop from the road, and with a pool shaped like, you know, chickens and all that kind of stuff. And you could and then we could invite everybody to come over to the hen house.
Oh gosh.
Come on over to the hen house. Oh my goodness. Ah, sheesh.
That's
okay.
An evil laugh, Whisper. That's an evil laugh.
I'm actually still thinking. All righty, let's go to the phone lines. Any, mighty, mo. Let's see which line here may be Steve here. Hey, Steve, say hello. Are you there?
I am here.
All righty. I guess the right number. Perfect. We appreciate you calling in. And I'm not taking responsible for any of this, Steve. Pat started it with her with her news article today, and it just kind of went a little crazy. But
I will tell you, in my whole career of doing television and radio, I have never heard how you can go from Roxazone to English women chickens that are unshaved. So you're the only group of people that I know of that either you have knowledge that I've never heard of, but the transition was beautiful. So how you managed to get from that to the to that. Now I'm wondering if the Roxazone would help the chickens be skinnier, because if they're going to be models, they need to be able to look svelte as far as the calendar is concerned. So
well, actually, Steve, it would, because arsenic was originally started by use in evening girls, I guess you'd say, to make their skin look rosy and
right.
flushed.
Right.
So it does the same thing to the chicken skin. It makes it look pinkish, so they're more attractive.
See, it all ties in, and you guys are the only ones that I know of could do that. So, and believe me, Whisper, I agree with you. I have a multitude of thoughts about that calendar, and it's best that it's not Friday.
Yes. Thank goodness it is definitely not Friday, without a doubt. So thank
you. Yeah, what fun. Well, you know, it's 70 degrees here in Kansas, and it's almost like a dream come true. The weather is just beautiful. And I tell you what, it's been that way for the last couple of days. And, you know, it's amazing to me how the NFL can come to all of its great answers just right before season in order for us to be able to have football again and the whole thing. But maybe that had to do with a little bit of politics. But I'm excited about the entire thing of tailgate parties and getting ready for fall and the activities that go with that. And naturally, football to me is always that kickoff of getting into the season.
Oh, yeah.
So what I've come up with is a couple of recipes that fall into that realm, but I want to talk a little bit before we get into that about something that I've been working with and teaching, which really simplifies the understanding on how to cook with heritage chicken. And I think that if people have that understanding, it falls in line in their creativity of how they want to cook something. And I just call it the four S's of cooking heritage chicken. And if you look at how I've put that together, it kind of does make sense. You know, the birds of yesteryear, because they usually take longer to cook and they're slower to cook and all the things that go of that nature, as opposed to the commercial birds, there's just some things that you have to do that are kind of forgotten techniques from the past. So I use the word sear to seal. And that means that when you have a bird, you sear it of some nature with heat to seal in that moisture. And so there's your first two S's, sear to seal, and then you simmer to soften. And, gee, it puts it all in one key factor, that the older techniques, because the birds were and are free range and are active outside, they're of course, not going to be as pliable and not going to cook as fast. So you want to simmer those to soften that tissue down, to break it down. And during that simmering is when you put your flavors in and you create this wonderful aroma and that can only come out of a heritage chicken. Just a quick question. How did everything go with Frank Reese? Did that conversation give you lots of information?
Oh, my goodness. Can I answer that, Whisper?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I got to tell you, I was just hit between the eyes with the information Frank Reese brought on about how the genetics really determine the nutritional value of the chicken. I re-listened to that three times and took notes. I thought it was absolutely mind-blowing for me in a very good way. Thanks for turning him loose on us.
Well, he really is very much into the genetic processes, as you well know. And naturally, with my side of the fence, with the nutrition, it's as I discover more and more, and he sends me all the paperwork that he's writing and works with, and I try to apply that to the nutrition. And I'm teaching a nutrition class again this fall at the college, And I'm going to tell you, the things that I am discovering through his research are going to help me a lot in teaching. And one of them is the simple statement that it takes 5 commercial chickens to make the nutriment of a heritage bird.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, I, with some despair, I say, my God, what have we done to the industry when it comes to eating good, healthy food?
Mm-hmm. And what have we done?
Yeah, what have we done? And we continue to do it. And, you know, it's the old adage, it's not nice to mess with Mother Nature. So, I think we're doing that, and you know, at the possibility of sounding like a radical, especially as a chef, I really am getting on that wagon of understanding of what we are doing with everything from arsenic to diluting down the nutriments, and I'm amazed at how now you can buy additives for your food so that you can bring that nutritional quality back up, right up to using something in your coffee. If you want to add some of that, it'll give you more nutriment. And you say, well, what happened to the nutriment before? And that's one of the things that I'm becoming more and more aware of. And so it's an interesting world, and it's becoming more and more interesting, and I hear more and more about what's happening to our food industry to begin with, and it's greatly alarming. So just one segment of that. But, you know, I go back in mind to that wonderful flavor, that wonderful, robust taste that you find in growing your own birds and raising them, that you just can't find out of a rack in a grocery store. So, and I'm not trying to put something down, just an opinion that goes with that. I look at things that are nutritious all the way around and try to create food that is balanced, and it's very difficult to do that if you do not have the right tools to do that with. So anyway, talking about the activities of tailgate parties, you know, one of the things that people look at this time of the year is how can I fix food that everybody can enjoy that's nutritious, and it doesn't have to be a sit-down dinner because they're all going to be in there watching the game, or they're going to go have a tailgate party and fix something there. So I have a couple of recipes that I have used for years, and one of them is called Mexican caviar. Now, Whisper, I know you were saying that combination doesn't – you wonder how you're going to use chicken and caviar. Well, this is not fish caviar. So
okay.
it make a little bit
hey,
safer.
Hey, Steve, I have a
make
question.
Make it a little bit safer.
You started going down the road of the 4 S's,
yeah.
And we covered the first one, which was sear. Were you going to cover the others during the show? Or did,
sure.
Did,
well, what I'm going to do is go to – I'm sorry that I sidetracked there. I'm going to go to what we call our core recipe – and I'll be talking about that also.
I'm just going to take a wild guess that one of the 4 S's isn't, unless you're at my house cooking, isn't salad dressing.
No, it wouldn't be salad dressing.
Very good, very good. Carry on with the Mexican caviar.
All right. I was just going to mention that we'll be talking about Mexican caviar, and then also I have a borracho chicken. And beans, and that is another wonderful dish that comes from the west part of Texas, and it's really borracho in Hispanic or Spanish means drunk or drunken chicken. So we're going to see if we can't get a drunken chicken in here with part of the whole thing. Maybe he'll. No, I can't say that. I was going to say if you have your chickens dancing, he'll throw dollars at them if he's drunk enough, but. Off the calendar. But anyway, the idea behind that is borracho chicken, Mexican caviar. And if we have time, we'll talk about just go pulled barbecue chicken recipe that I have that is relatively easy. Let's talk about what I call a core recipe. And I invite people to do this because we don't have time to cook like we used to. And, you know, Mom would be staying at home all day, et cetera, doing her thing. And her job it was obviously a profession at home, taking care of family and keeping them healthy with food. Well, I have a core recipe that I like to introduce and have people look at. And I invite them to buy maybe about 3 chickens or slaughter up about 3 chickens. And look at how you can put some of that away after it's cooked and use it as you go. So first of all, let's talk about that core recipe. And I invite you, it's a very simple, easy recipe, and yet it's usable for just about everything that you might want to make. I'm going to be talking next month about casseroles, and I'm going to refer back to this core recipe. All right, if you look at the idea behind the four S's, sear and seal and simmer and soften, let's look at that recipe of the core recipe. I want you to take chicken parts, just whatever you want to use. It'll be thighs, legs, breasts, doesn't matter. Dust them with flour, salt, and pepper, brown them. Just brown them lightly is all you have to do. Don't plan to cook them all the way through. Just get a nice little crust on that. Now, what you're doing there is at first is to sear it. So you're searing it and you're sealing in all of that moisture by doing that. Then you make a bed of onions, or if you're not into onions, you can use mushrooms, or you can make a bed in a casserole in a pan large enough to hold all of it. Fine chopped vegetables, onion, again, or mushroom, or carrots. This is all a bed that you're going to lay this meat on. Then you add about a half a cup to three-fourths a cup of chicken broth or regular broth. And you cover that up, and you bake it for about 2.5 hours at 325 degrees until it is well cooked, until the moisture has gotten into it. Now, what you've done is you've simmered. You've literally simmered it for those 2.5 hours, and what you've done is you've softened that process again with the meat. Some of the techniques that we use today, we don't do that. We'll just deep fat fry it and it's done. But in this case, with heritage birds, especially unless you get a young bird for summer, fried chicken, these birds are best done by this process. So after you've got them baked for about 2.5 hours, you remove the chicken pieces, set them aside, debone it, and then, of course, you have the gravy that you can use for soup or other additives. Now, I've created what we call a core recipe, and in that is what you'll be able to set aside if you want to freeze part of it, vacutain it. I do that sometimes. And literally put that in chopped form or sliced form, anything that you want to use. Now, let's go to the borracho chicken to start with. And I'll see how that times in. First of all, you need to take about a pound of pinto beans, and you let them soak overnight, and then you rinse them, and then you add water again to cover those beans, and you can use half water and half chicken broth, which really brings that flavor back up. Add a little salt and pepper, and let it start cooking or boiling until it starts simmering. Add a can of tomato sauce, a cup of chopped onions. I like to use yellow onions in this particular case. And 3/4 a teaspoon of chili powder. And if you want some heat to it, take some chopped jalapenos. Now you cook this and let it simmer till the beans are just pretty much semi-soft. And this is, before that I forgot the main ingredients. After you add the jalapenos, you add a can of your favorite beer. Whatever beer is your favorite. Now, the bad part of this, just in case you need to know, Whisper, is that you usually only buy a six-pack, and you end up with 5 cans of beer left. So there may be something that we could find creative to do with those other 5 cans of beer. But you're only going to need one. So I suppose we could have a borracho chicken and a borracho chef, if you want, and add a couple of beers to the system there.
I was going to say, does the chef recommend having those five after the food's prepared and there's no knives involved, or before?
I don't know. I think the kitchen should be fun and just put away a lot of the knives and go ahead and have some of the beer. So anyway, it makes the event of cooking in the kitchen a lot more fun. So as long as you stay off the table.
I hope you have good company while you're doing this.
Let them have a beer and that's the party of it. So anyway, after you put that, you're going to let that simmer until the beans are really semi-soft. Then you're going to take some of that core chicken that I talked about earlier in the recipe and pull it out of the freezer or refrigerator. Take about a cup of that, a cup and a half of it, and put it into those beans. And then about a half a cup of cilantro and let it just cook again till it starts creating its own thick broth. Now, this is something that you can put in a crock pot, and while the game is going on, they can have that with maybe some cornbread, and you have a wonderful meal which is complete. And again, you've done that same process with the core recipe, and I really like that because it allows you to have that available just like you pull out other things. And, you know, how long does it take to cook three chickens as opposed to cooking one when you know you're going to eat the three chickens eventually anyway? So within a month's time, you would be using up the chicken, but you've saved a lot of that time in the kitchen, and you have it available for the diversity of your recipes. Now, I use that same core recipe for chicken salad sandwiches. I use it for the barbecue chicken, different things of that nature. So you have a really nice base to work with. So let's talk about Mexican caviar next. Now, we're going back to the four S's again, but this time it's going to be done a little bit differently. You're looking at a pound of ground chicken, your favorite ground chicken, and you can use ground turkey, but I will tell you I prefer ground chicken for this recipe. You need to use a small amount of canola or olive oil and brown that chicken really very good so that you have almost some crispness in it. As you well know, that since there's no fat in that chicken, when you're browning it, you have to use some of that the fat or oils to keep that so that it's brownable. So during that time, while it's browning, add about a half a package of your favorite taco mix, whatever that may be, just about a half a package, and let that fry into the meat. And you drain that. After it's cooked, you go ahead and drain the oil off and set it aside. Some of the flavoring will have gone into the meat itself. Also during that time, you take and brown about a half a pound of turkey bacon. Now, you can use regular bacon if you would like, but I use the turkey bacon because we really like it around here, and it's certainly not as fattening. And you want to fry that till it's very crisp, and you want to chop it up into small pieces. And then you take, this is the easy part, it's like a picante. You take a large onion, a white one, and you chop it up along with 3 to 4 large tomatoes. Maybe a serrano or a jalapeno pepper, chop it up very fine, 2 minced garlic cloves, and then you add 1 can of rinsed or drained and drained black beans. You can buy the canned ones, and they work just as well. And then also in a large bowl, you add all that ingredients along with about a half a cup of chopped cilantro. And you just add all this ingredients together, and you salt and pepper and mix to taste just what you like. Let it chill for about 2 hours. And what you're going to do is serve this on oven-toasted tortillas. So I just buy the white tortillas, cut them into wedges, and let them toast in the oven so they get kind of crisp. Or you can use regular corn chips. And I promise you, if you put that out for the guys when they're watching, they, again, you have a full meal, but it's called Mexican caviar. So another one of those nice things to make, and again, you have that searing and sealing, and you're letting things simmer, and you're letting them soften before you add them to the vegetables. Pat, do you think that might be something tasty?
Oh, my, I'm sitting here drooling, I'm embarrassed to say. I want to be your sous chef.
Well, I promise you, you know,
I'll bring
by
the
way, I will be preparing this at the ALBC convention this year. So.
Oh, I can taste it. No, I'm serious about being your sous chef at the ALBC convention. I mean, I'll wash the dishes, I'll do the pans, and I'll bring you beer.
Well, and one of the things is that this Mexican caviar, the longer you chill it, the more it marinates, and you can pull it out and at 2 a.m. in the morning and have a taste out of the refrigerator if you want. But it's great for things like events and people where you've got a lot of gathering because they can just scoop in like you can with the salsas and things of this nature. But this has a lot more body to it and it has more substance. So you're getting your starches, your proteins, your vegetables, your meat all in one appetizer, if you will. And it's the kind of thing that can be addicting. You can just, you know, eat one right after another. And I tell you what, I haven't yet to meet any of the guys that don't like it. So now you've got a bowl of drunk chicken. You've had 2 or 3 beers yourself. you're eating Mexican caviar, and you've done this all with chicken that you made as a core base, and had ready for you whenever you needed to use it to make anything else. So, I enjoy cooking both of those recipes. The beans are an all day process, but they freeze well. And, you know, sometimes I find myself, just like anything else, I live out in the country, so I sometimes have to buy 2 6-packs of beer just in case there's something that goes wrong. And since I'm out in the country, I don't want to be without that that extra little...
And then about halftime, the Chicken Whisperer shows up with a big Tupperware bowl with Tyson chicken wings bought at Winn-Dixie, coated in Italian dressing that was baked at 350 for 45 minutes.
Well, you know, there's something admirable in trying. But I tell you what, just for the fun of it, you go ahead and show up, and we'll have a contest to see who eats the most of what.
Pardon me, yeah, it's Iron Chef chicken style at the ALBC conference.
Well, that in itself would be a lot of fun. That in itself would be a lot of fun. So let me move on to our pulled chicken. And here we go again, and I'm going back to this 4 S's again. And we're going to take a chicken. You can either bake a regular chicken, a whole chicken, or chicken parts. And what you want to do is simply get the oven into about 325 degrees, oil the bird on the outside, salt and pepper only, and then inside you're going to want to put about 1/4 cup of honey that's been mixed with brown sugar and about 3 tablespoons of cider vinegar. And what you do is you coat the inside of the bird for that. So I'm kind of getting the bird ready for what we're going to do with the pulled chicken. But the idea is that, again, you're going to leave it uncovered a little bit, let it sear or let it get a small browning, very light browning, before you close it up and seal it. And then you have about 1/2 cup of water or broth in the pan at the bottom. I would elevate the chicken so that it's on a little bit of a rack. And then go ahead and put that bird in there and let it brown lightly. Then cover it, just like we would do a baked chicken. Let it simmer slowly at 325, and we're looking at 2.5 to 3 hours here. And I sometimes even go down to 300, depending on, you know, what I'm wanting to do as far as softening it. So we're simmering again to soften. Now, when you take that out, you remove the skin. Do not throw that skin away. You have wonderful soup there. But keep the meat, debone it in all the large pieces, and pull the meat off of the bird. And now you'll notice that you have some sweetness already there and a little bit of that vinegar with the sour. Now you've got that, and you get your crock pot. You chop up that chicken, and then you can add your favorite barbecue sauce, which I'm promoting Baby Ray's because I love their sweet one, and I'm sure it's popular all over the U.S., or you take and make a sauce yourself, which is relatively simple. You just take a cup of ketchup, 1/2 cup of honey. You take powdered onion and garlic and about 1/4 cup of cider vinegar. And you mix that up, put it in the crock pot, put your pulled chicken in there that's been pulled and diced up. Make sure you have some buns and you're ready to serve a pulled chicken barbecue, and it is easy, and if it lasts all day long, it's as good as it was when you first started.
It's probably even better the more it sort of simmers with itself, isn't it?
Certainly, and by putting it in a crock pot, naturally you don't have to have a crock pot. You can just let it simmer slowly on the stove or put a double boiler on it, but the real thing is using that crock pot so it's available, you know, the entire day. People can go in and just grab a little snack, and I take the ready-made bread dough that you can buy to make buns with, or to make rolls with, and I flatten them out and make a small hamburger bun out of them, so they're not extremely large. And just the added, you can certainly use anything for bread that you want to, but I do that, and it makes a nice little slider. They're small enough that it's appetizer oriented. But I find usually the guys that just want, give me a big hunk of bread and some of that, and I'll eat it. So either way, it works real well. either way. So, and again, you're looking at this whole thing that I keep presenting about the four S's. You know, when we seal something, the moisture cannot get out. And that's one of the magics of the old cooking that they would do, is that you would just sear that. Regardless of what you were doing, you would still sear it or seal it to keep that moisture in. And then that very low, slow cooking of simmering it would really soften down the bird. And the magic thing is that you have all this flavor that's caught, if you will, inside, that is just rehydrates is the word I'm wanting to say, re-moisturizes over and over again while that tissue is being broken down and the flavor is being enhanced as it does so. So that technique is one of the most important things to look at when you're cooking your birds, even if you're doing fried chicken. And I use that same analogy with fried chicken. You coat it and you sear it and seal it, and then you brown it on both sides. You put the lid on it, and you let it simmer for a while so it softens. And then you have nice, crisp fried chicken. So the analogy is the same all the way through.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, Steve, that's just absolutely, ooh, sounds delightful.
Well, it's a lot of fun because of the weather cooling down. You can start doing these kind of things. And like I say, I'm a person who says, you know, look ahead and have that available, and it's easy to do just two or three chickens rather than just one. If you're going to do it, you might as well have it for two or three meals rather than one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, Steve, we need to take just a quick break today to honor our sponsors.
You bet.
And when we come back, we can pick up. I'd like to ask some of your advice. I bought a solar oven. And I don't know if you've used one or not, but I wanted to ask your advice about maybe cooking in it, because I've only made two dishes so far, but I love it.
Great.
So, our special guest today is Steve Pope. He is the Heritage Chef, and we're talking today about the four S's of Heritage Chickens, along with how to do Mexican caviar. That's what you said it was, right? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Remember, Brencia is having a September sale where you can get 20% off just about everything they carry at Brencia.com. That's 20% off during September.
When you need an incubator, think Brencia, the incubation specialist. Brencia has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brencia.com. Brencia spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brencia.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brencia, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, peafowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as 3 baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our special guest today being the first Tuesday of the month is, of course, the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. And we're talking, we were talking about all kinds of different recipes you can do that would make your guest go crazy during football season for the either tailgate or for the big party when you have them come over and look at your new big screen 75-inch LED TV on the wall there with surround sound and the stadium seating you've got in your living room and you get to show off all that good stuff you put on your credit card. But you can have some awesome meals for them as well. But we got a few minutes here. And Pat wanted to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly regarding solar ovens. She's got her a new toy, and I think that's something we all probably need is a good solar oven. But she wanted to talk to you, Steve, about the good, the bad, the ugly. Is it something to worry about if you're cooking with solar ovens? Is it is it like your typical oven? Is everything going to seem to be dried out more or cook faster? Or what's the secret?
In fact, it can work for you instead of against you. There are a couple of rules about using solar ovens, and one of them is maintaining. And Pat, you've probably discovered this already to some degree. You have to really maintain a certain heat level, and if you drop below 300, 275, you're not actually penetrating the protein or the meat or whatever as easily. So, yeah, you know, one of the first rules is the obvious one: don't cook on a cloudy day.
That's actually right, like today.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the oven you have, so that I can get a picture of it.
Okay, well, Steve, I know I'm throwing this at you a little bit as a curveball, but I'm so excited about it, and I've been playing and experimenting with it. It's a global solar oven. I think it's one of the best from what I've been able to research, and it has, of course, the reflector mirrors and the little dark box cave, and it folds up, and I can take it along like a suitcase.
Right.
Yeah, I think the design is really elegant. I'm thrilled with it. And so far, I've made some lentil soup, which cooked really nicely. Of course, it took about 3 hours to get to cook, but who cares when you don't have to pay for any electricity?
Well, that's right. That is right. And again, you brought up something that's very important, and that is to understand it's going to take longer for anything to cook. Mm-hmm. Unless you have that high heat, and don't expect a tremendous amount of high heat to begin with. So, okay?
Yeah. Well, and then I did some hard-boiled eggs, and that took about 2 hours, two to two and a half hours. And it could have taken less, but you're supposed to adjust it every 20 to 30 minutes to follow the track of the sun, and I got distracted, so I didn't totally. But the eggs came out perfect.
Sure.
And what's interesting, Steve, is the day after this global solar oven arrived, I got a propane bill for $400. It's like, oh, I'm going to be using this more than I thought. It's like the incentive just got really bigger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the same thing when I look at my electric bill this month of $367.
Ouch.
And I do not have that much to do with electricity, and I've monitored the air conditioning, so anything we can do to cut down on the economics of it. Is the oven large enough that you can rotate whatever you have in there? And it's kind of like a microwave in the same thing, that rotating whatever you're cooking sometimes helps get the diffusion of it a lot easier.
Well, no, it's not. It's not that big of a chamber. It's I guess maybe 18 or 20 by. But it's deep. I can get a Dutch oven, one of the medium-sized Dutch ovens in there.
Uh-huh.
But
well,
what's interesting – go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, just sometimes if you're able to rotate, my experience comes from that also, is just by rotating your product that you're cooking, it does help to even it out even more. You know, I think I'll do a confession. I'll say back in the day, and I'm sure the whisperer has never done this, but back in the day, I call it my post-hippie years, we used to cook on top of the engine of the car. And so the car would heat up, and we would just be able to cook something on the top of the car for the fun of it. So, you know, using availability, I wouldn't try frying eggs directly on top of the manifold, though. that I wouldn't do. You were about to mention something, Pat.
Oh, I don't think I'm post my hippie years yet, Steve. I think they're still going strong.
good.
I'm just an aging hippie sitting here, I think. Well, the other thing that's really interesting about the oven that I hadn't until I watched this little video and then experienced it with the lentils is the food doesn't burn because
right.
There's not one place that's hotter than another, and it's like an ambient temperature of heat. So you don't even need to stir it.
Well,
the unique thing is that they
talk about microwaves. Well, guess what? You're dealing with solar waves and solar heat. So it does have a more a balance is the better word I use. It has a balance of the distribution. And the thing is it, like I say, you've discovered it's just going to take longer to cook whatever you're cooking, but you certainly, in the trade-off of that, like you say, that large propane bill is very economical. And I'll tell you what, if we go back to the cooking processes of yesteryear that made food taste so good, we're back to that slow cooking again and getting that flavor to come out. And so what an ideal way of doing that is with that solar oven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled with it. I haven't done a chicken. I bought a chicken a small heritage breed chicken to do with a slow, to sear it, like you were talking about. Because the other interesting thing about this solar oven is you can combine it with your conventional stove.
Uh-huh.
So I can go ahead and sear and seal the meat and then put it in the slow oven to simmer and soften.
Very good.
That's a nice combination. Yeah.
You've got it. That's excellent, because it's exactly using the advantage of both, cutting down your cost and certainly creating a food that is cooked the way it should be cooked, especially if you're using one of the old breeds. That makes all the difference in the world. Another thing that happens by cooking slowly, especially if it's encapsulated, and I'm going to be talking about it the next time I get to visit with you people, is the lost nutrition. And one of the things that, you know, that we look at by slow cooking and simmering in a sealed environment, your changeover and loss of nutrients is not as strong. In fact, you encapsulate, and it helps increase the nutriment itself of whatever you're cooking. So there's some very positive things, again, by cooking in that method, that you're not losing a lot of the nutrients that are so important.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled with it. I expect to use it more and more, because especially with the winter coming up, I'm a soup soup person with the colder weather. So then my grandparents, they always had a little pot of soup on the stove. They just throw whatever was left over, got them into soup, and somehow it always ended up tasting great. So I'm looking forward to using my little solar oven to make a lot of soups this winter. That and my wood stove.
The closest thing I have to a solar oven is my Ronco rotisserie cooker, where I just have to set it and forget it.
there you go.
Welcome to modern science, but you're still going to have to cook it a while.
Oh, my goodness. Ronco, just set it and forget it.
There you go.
Well, you got to remember to buy propane or plug it in. You're still... you still need a heat source other than the solar.
Surprisingly enough, so many of the products that you do see, bring that up in the infomercials and things of that nature, are actually working very strongly to utilize those older methods of cooking. And rotisserie is one of them that, you know, is a very, very clear-sighted way of using the older methods of cooking. So John Popel, or whatever his name is, with Ronco Corporation, has done very well in promoting the idea behind working with it. Even the little sandwich makers that you can buy out there, and the gal who shows you 15 different ways of using them, and the guy is actually acting like he's an idiot and doesn't even understand what the food is, and she's making everything you can think of. They're still using that method of cooking on both sides. And again, you're dealing with searing, sealing, and let it cook through. So some of the methods that they're even using with the newer equipment and stuff is following some of those old methods that just simply can't be beat. There's no question about it. So that's the fun of it.
Tater Farm in the chat room says, you soak the chicken overnight in Italian dressing and then put it on your Ron Papel.
You know, it may be all right if you do that. It may be okay. So, you know, it's all about how good it is for you and how good it tastes, and how you get there can either be with a solar oven or one of the electric rotisseries from the Ronco bunch. Not so sure about the Italian dressing. Maybe you ought to experiment a little bit more and use some blue cheese or something of that nature.
There you go.
This will be different. Well, I'll tell you what, next time I will be talking about the lost nutritions and what we have done and what is no longer there and how we need to recapture that. And then I'm going to talk about chicken casseroles. And this was the savior of the modern American woman of the early 50s, was casseroles. And there's quite a few that I like doing, basically because you can put them up. And just to whet the appetite, I do this wonderful breast of chicken and with a cream and applesauce.
Oh, and that's awesome. And what we'll do is we'll have another Iron Chef, and then I'll share everybody my breakfast tater tot casserole.
Oh, and it's got to be a winner. It's just got to be. So.
Breakfast tater tot casserole versus the Heritage Chef. I know who's going to win that one already. So
I don't know. I kind of like tater tots, so you know that's okay.
Gotta love it. Oh, we got 60 seconds left. So hey, thank you so much. It's always so fun when you're on the radio show. We learn so much, and everybody in the chat room saying that they can't hear the radio show from their stomachs gurgling because they're up for now.
Well, that's great. I enjoy participating with you guys.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll see you the first Tuesday in October. So, Pat, 36 seconds, take it away, my friend.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm really ready for lunch myself. Our very special guest today is Steve Pope, the Heritage Chef, and you can visit his website at heritagechef.com. Appreciation to our chat room chicken ears for grumbling and growling along with their stomachs as we hear about Steve telling us about these wonderful dishes. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com provides the radio, the chat, and the video services. I'm Pat Foreman, and from us all, we love you all so much, and may the flock be with you, quote the chicken, evermore. God bless everybody.
Oh.